But let's get into the Toronto Raptors. And I've looked around at all the mock drafts, and it seems every mock draft I go to, someone has a different selection for the Toronto Raptors at number 13, which would make me think that no one knows what the Toronto Raptors are going to do. And they're a very interesting team in this draft for a number of reasons, because not only are they a team that I don't think anyone knows what they're going to do, I don't think anyone knows what they're going to look like either. So that has an impact on who they might draft. If Chris Bosh is staying a Raptor, which looks very unlikely, now Hedo Turkoglu possibly on his way out the door. So where do the Raptors go, and what do you think they do?
Unfortunately, the Raptors get stuck in possibly one of the worst draft positions you can be in, because you're not a playoff team, which means, you know, if you're a playoff team, you have the luxury of, you know, picking the best available fit for your team. So no matter how the draft plays out before you, you can sort of, you know, make adjustments easy. You know, if one guy isn't there, you have your next guy ready. And the early on, you know, the teams are before the Raptors are going to have their pick. Now, what they do is going to end up determining what the Raptors ultimately do. And there's so much that could happen between now and then. The Raptors will have to be ready with probably up to 6 or 7 different picks ready in that spot. If they actually end up staying in that spot.
Yeah.
Ideally what they want is, assuming that Bosh is going to leave.
Which is a safe bet.
Yeah. And you're going to have supposedly an unhappy Turkoglu. Their top priority is, and which actually works in their favor, is in the top 20 picks, top 20, available players, almost half of them are power forwards. If there could be considered an ideal, time to lose a power forward, it would be in this year's draft, because they'll be able to replace them with any number of, it will be, whatever power forward falls to them at that point. Now we're looking primarily at, 4 different players. You have Ekpe Udoh,
who they had up for a workout.
Yeah. Patrick Patterson, Ed Davis,
Orton out of Kentucky, because they had him up as well.
Orton, to me, I don't like the idea of him there. I mean, they may see something. I just don't think he would be a good fit on the Raptors team. It's not the kind of, the Raptors, the way things are going, are going to need someone who's ready to come right in and play right away. And I think Orton is maybe at least a year away, maybe 2 years. Because not only is he a freshman, just finished his freshman year, but it was a freshman year where he barely played. So he's someone who I think he has good long-term potential. I don't think the Raptors are Raptors can't do this draft based on long-term potential.
But could you make the argument if they're forced to trade Hedo, that they've already entered a rebuilding mode anyway, and you've got young guys and DeMar DeRozan, Sonny Weems, maybe you do add a guy on potential and start to try and build a new nucleus of talent?
It's an argument that makes sense. But even going that way, I don't think Orton is the answer there. You have players with better potential, who could be able to come in right away and play and produce. So it can make a rebuilding situation a little more, easier to deal with. My personal favorite for the Raptors is Udoh. I think Udoh would be a fantastic fit, especially if he has to replace Chris Bosh. And he adds something which I probably only saw the Raptors play 10 or so games last year. But the one thing they seemed to really need was defense.
Absolutely.
And out of this group of power forward centers, Udo is easily the best defensive of the group. I mean, he can come into the NBA right away and be a game changer from the defensive end.
And how much did it help him making the move that he did?
Well, the one thing it did for him is it put him into a situation that was, more suited to his talents, from an offensive point of view. Defensively, he would be able to go anywhere, and he would be fine. He would be very good at what he does. But once the coaching change was made in Michigan, the system that was coming in, John Beilein's system, was just not going to work. He would be completely out of place. So going to, a team like Baylor, which was an up-and-coming team, and he was really just the missing piece that they needed, to bring him up to that next level. Now, the downside to that is you sort of can, if you're not familiar with him, if you hadn't watched him before, it's kind of tough to get a read on a player's defensive abilities when they're sitting in the middle of a zone all the time. Because all you're really watching is someone, waiting for people to penetrate and then block their shot. But, if you had seen him before and you see the few times that Baylor would go to a man defense, he's very good at it. He's very good at keeping players out of the post. The timing on his shot blocking is near perfect. And, the guy is a fundamentally sound rebounder. He boxes out, he goes after the ball, he secures it. It's everything you could want from a defensive point of view. Now, offensively, he needs work because he's very good at the putback, offensive rebounds, tip-ins, a dunk underneath. He really hasn't developed many moves yet from the post. And I think I've maybe seen him try to face, to get the ball and face up to the basket maybe a handful of times all season. So whoever picks him is going to have their hands full working on that with him. But he'll be ready to step on the court right away and at least give you something.
And then the one guy who I'm intrigued by, we already talked about him briefly, would the Raptors be nuts to take Damian James at 13?
No, I may be one of the few. I mean, I guess it's yes and no. Would I love to see it? Yes. And do I think he deserves it? Yeah. But I don't think he's the right fit for the Raptors. Only because he's, again, there's no true position for him. And he doesn't, the way he projects is, he's going to be a small forward. And he doesn't really, he's not one of these undersized power forwards as much because he doesn't have that kind of body. That some of these, if you think to your Carl Landry's and those type of players, Damian James actually has a small forwards type of body. He just out hustles everybody.
And that's the thing I like about him. And that's the thing for not being from here, me being from here. Toronto fans seem to love guys that hustle and give it their all. Damian James is that guy. He can get on the boards, he can rebound. And we're talking about a team that, quite honestly, probably doesn't have Hedo Turkoglu when they start Cam next year based on the whole rigmarole that it started with him. If the Raptors can get rid of him, they will. So they might actually need a small forward by the end of the offseason.
Even with that, as much as I like watching his game, I have a hard time at this point picturing him as an NBA starter. And if you're in the lottery, whether you're picking one or you're picking at 14, I really think you need to be able to get a player who is going to be an NBA starter. You know, I think James will have a long career in the NBA, but I don't see him projecting as more than an occasional spot start or, a solid sixth man. But he doesn't do anything he does a lot of things good, but nothing great.
I would agree with that. I've watched him a little bit playing at Texas, but he's also, too, a guy that he just, even though Texas had their problems this year, he never gave up. There were a lot of guys on that Texas team that you might have said gave up at times. He wasn't one of them.
Oh, yeah. And you said he's someone who that, GMs or, general managers and coaches are going to love having him on his team. But part of it's going to be because he's not going to get, he's not going to be a starter. He's not going to, be a primary option. And he's going to be okay with that. Mm-hmm. He's still going to work as hard as he ever did. And he's going to be ready when if he is needed. But I think to stretch and take him in the lottery would be a little much. Now, while he could be a good fit for the Raptors, it would be a nice situation for the Raptors to consider trading down. Because right. They would be able to get him in the 18 to 21, 22 range, possibly. And, you're looking at a lot of teams that want to move up and grab at least one of these power forwards or, a center like Aldrich or Whiteside. So it's something the Raptors may consider. And then, it will get them an extra pick in this draft, which is incredibly deep. Out of this draft, you're going to see more second-round players make NBA rosters than you have in, easily the last decade.
Yeah, and one of the other things that at least people have been wondering, and they wonder it even more based on some of the people that the Raptors have brought in for workouts, if the Raptors are in the market to get a pick in the late first round, early second round, that sort of area, who's a guy that would fit for the Raptors, assuming they got a pick somewhere between 25 to 35, let's say?
Assuming that they get, if they're able to get a power forward or, a sort of a replacement for Chris Bosh kind of thing, then I think, this would be a prime spot to, maybe start to look at your Turkoglu replacement. This is where you're going to see a lot of the small forward, slash power forward kind of players available. Here's another senior who, would definitely be worth taking a pick if he was available. It would be Quincy Pondexter, who is a Damian James who's just a little more talented. He has, the kind of game that will translate well to the NBA. There are some concerns. Is he going to be a high-energy kind of player like a Damian James, which is why most, if you look at most draft boards, Damian James will go ahead of Pondexter. But in the next couple weeks, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw them flip-flop. Pondexter is starting to get, he's starting to address his concern, address these concerns with all the teams. And from everything I've heard, everyone is starting to become satisfied with it. So if you had an opportunity late in the first round, he was available, that would be a great pickup for the Raptors. He gives you what James would, but he also can fill in some of those things that Turkoglu did. The other option would be, try and shore up the backcourt, and you have some, excellent back, excellent shooting guard prospect, or point guard prospects who, this would be the place where they're going. It's not a deep point guard draft, but if you're going to pick one, you're going to find them around this area, late first round, early second round. You're going to have Grievous Vasquez's, and, you know, or maybe someone like Willie Warren, who is a scorer, but, you know, could play the point.
Sorry, Raptors actually had him up for a workout, actually.
Yeah, and he's another one who, you know, by adding him, adding a player like Warren or Vasquez, who, you know, the 6'6 point guard, you know, all of a sudden you could shore up, you know, you can get a backup at two positions in one player, which helps you then address the other needs on your team. You don't need a separate backup. You can play someone like Warren can do both. He would be someone that if the Raptors can get into the late first, would definitely be worth a look at.
This was fun, and what do you got planned for your site as we build up to draft day? What can people expect when they go on there and give them the website and all that good stuff?
The website is NBADraftBlog.com. And, you know, basically what I do is I'm not a big mock draft person. I prefer to, you know, to give people a little more meat on their players. You know, if you want to learn a little more about the players, you know, I give you, you know, what I can from what would be a scout's point of view. Plus, I spend time addressing the team's needs. And it's sort of, if you were to, you know, look at the mock draft sites as sort of, you know, your first step into your draft research, then, you know, I would look at my site as more of a, you know, as your next step. You know, you graduate from the mock drafts into learning a little more about what goes on. And, you know, starting in the next week or two, there's going to be an interview with Patrick Patterson, which is going to be going up on the site. And, you know, right now we're working on, is working on putting together interviews with a few other players. The Patterson one will definitely be up within the next week.
Sounds good. I was at the Raptor workouts, got to interview a few guys myself, and more in the scrum setting, though, not like one-on-one, but it's always interesting to hear from these kids and see what they take away from this whole process, because I think it's always interesting because at one point, you listen to all these guys and it becomes generic and it's like the same things we hear year in and year out. But sometimes the odd guy will stand out and say something a little different from the norm. And that's always interesting to hear.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I sought out Patterson as, you know, the guy I wanted to start this with is, you know, hearing him at the, you know, at the pre-draft camp, it didn't sound like it was prepared by his agent. His remarks, you know, he was open and he was honest and without disparaging anyone, he just came across as extremely genuine. It's actually going to be a two-part thing because I also want to give people who come to the site, you know, some insight into what these agents are doing. You know, I don't think a lot of people realize actually the amount of work that goes into, you know, having to coordinate getting these guys around the country, you know, in a 3-week period. You know, and what else goes into getting them ready for the draft. Patrick's agent has also agreed to do his own separate interview.
That will be interesting.
So keep checking out the site, NBADraftBlog.com. And I thank you for your support, and this was a great time. I appreciate you having me on.